Well, so we'll just give this a go for the very first BrianMadden.com short interview podcast live directly from the show floor. So I'm here with Mike Schumacher of Lakeside. Hello.
Hi, how are you today?
Good, thanks. And so now you have Lakeside 8.4 and AI Ops out today is the big announcement. But we've been following Lakeside sort of AI type stuff for a couple of years now. There was the voice control and the natural language UI that went into Watson. So sort of tell me how we got from that first part of AI stuff from a couple of years ago that we saw to 8.4 that we're seeing today.
Great. So you know a lot about SysTrack and Lakeside. We've been around for 20 years and building this platform that is the biggest, widest, deepest data platform you can find around endpoints in EUC. We've applied analytical techniques for a long time to mine that data, provide value to our customers with a lot of different use cases, ranging from service desk, app rationalization, capacity and performance, all kinds of things. What's new for us with 8.4 is that we built a new architecture to enable us to take advantage of AI techniques on top of that data to really kind of go to the next level with what we can do with a tool. So,
and let's and tell me real quick, what's this about the new architecture?
Okay, so in the past, SysTrack used things called alarms, which allowed us to detect an alarm on simple conditions, like if your CPU exceeds 90% and it stays high for X amount of time, trigger an alarm. Or if the latency to this drive is high for a period of time, trigger an alarm. What we found, though, is that in order to leverage some of the AI engine work that we've done, we really need more powerful edge data. And we have an edge platform, fundamentally from the ground up. So we've built these new things called sensors. And sensors are much more complex conditions designed with a sensor builder and a language. And they can draw on not just our data, but they can draw on anything you can find in the performance library and WMI and the registry in lots of places. So we can write really complex and precise rules to help us diagnose at the edge proactively problems before the user even knows that they're there. So imagine now, I think we're shipping 500 or 600 sensors in the first pack. We can update those monthly from the cloud. So we expect to have a couple of thousand of them before the end of this year. So now that we've got this sensor data, imagine a spreadsheet where you've got columns going across and every column is one of those sensors. So one of them might say your home drive latency is too high or it's not too high. Now imagine rows and every row is one of your endpoints. And let's imagine that you've got 50,000 endpoints.
This sounds like a classic. Well, a few years ago we might have called a big data problem. Today we're calling it an AI or a machine learning problem to look at.
Yeah, I think it's still big data. It's just the analysis of that data is using AI techniques. So we're now looking. We can take this new tool we call AI Ops, which can mine that data, and we can get that data with this new platform in real time. So in addition to the edge, we've also got the ability. Because at the edge, we want to do self-help, we want to do auto remediation, things like that. But centrally, we want to do the proactive side of this.
Okay, and so AI, I just have to stop right there because, of course, machine learning, AI, it's today's biggest buzzword, bigger than cloud and everything. So the question that comes up, are the techniques, is it some type of machine learning or AI? What's the actual data manipulation and looking at technique, and is it technically AI or is it some other type of computation? Because you know that there are going to be sticklers out there that say AI, what does it really mean?
That's right. Everything is machine learning, right? We used to call it programming. No, this is using more advanced techniques for based in data science for mining very large amounts of data and often without kind of prescriptively doing the programming work that we typically would in what we would consider kind of simple analytics. The software is able to mine the data in new and interesting ways using some cases research that exists in the field. We're using it for end user computing, but remember, people have been mining data for a long time. And so a lot of these techniques are well developed in the industry. We're just applying them to EUC.
And I know you were doing some stuff using some IBM Watson APIs here. Is this the same thing around again, or what are you using in the background?
Okay, so that's different. We use we have a partnership with IBM and Watson, and we use a lot of Watson services for natural language processing. Another thing shipping with 8.4 is, after we shipped our first natural language engine, Ask SysTrack, a couple of years ago, we followed that up with an integration for AirWatch, and we then followed it with an integration with Citrix Director. And in the process of doing that, we built some internal tools that we use to do the training. So I went back to engineering and said, I have two more products that I want you to integrate. They said, no, we're not doing that. We're going to give you the tools, and you can enable anybody to do this because we've built the tools to help you do that kind of training work that it takes to make the natural language engine work. So with 8.4, we're also shipping the tools that we use directly to customers. We're also working with Watson on sentiment analysis. You know, we built a survey capability last year, which has been very successful, but there was a limitation, which is, when you're successful with it, you get so much feedback that no one can ever read all the text. And it's very hard then to tell, you know, are people happier or less happy? So go ahead.
Yeah. And that survey tool, that was one of our favorite things at the show last year. And so this sounds like a great next step for it.
It is a next step for it. And what we're doing now is we're taking that text and feeding it to a sentiment engine and scoring that data. So if you say, you know, this is the worst email performance I've ever had in my life, that's going to be a negative one. If you say, I am so happy, everything is perfect, that's a positive one.
Do you get a lot of those ones?
You get more negatives inherently. You got to remember that. But by now taking that data and scoring it, we're able to do things like look for trends, look for pockets where people are happy or unhappy. And then you've still got the backing data if you want to go in and say, well, you know, this group is unhappy this week. Let's read a few of the, you know, a few of the comments and find out why. So sentiment analysis is another kind of a cognitive computing technique that we're using here. The AI ops tool I was talking about is not leveraging Watson currently. It's a software that we built from the ground up.
Okay, got it. So we now that we've gone through that whole route of all the whole portfolio of all the things that you're doing with AI and sentiment analysis, let's come back to the AI ops tool, because you were just showing me a pretty cool looking demo. So we're on radio now. So but the talk track that you had along with it was pretty brilliant. So tell me about it.
Okay, so let's think back about that gigantic spreadsheet in our minds that we're imagining that's got all the columns, our sensors. There's 1,000 columns maybe. And there's 50,000 rows. And every 5 minutes, with this new platform that we've built, we're able to find out and update it with the status of all of the devices that you have. What AI Ops does is it mines that looking for example, patterns. It's looking for a pattern that says, these three sensors activations, or these six, almost always occur together. Because if you were an engineer and I sent you out to find a problem with, you know, this application is running slowly, you would say, well, that's great. Where do I go from there, right? If I sent you out and said, by the way, everyone that has this problem is on a virtualized infrastructure and has long or high home drive latency, you would think about the problem entirely differently. And by thinking about problems proactively in sets, you're able to get better data than what you would get if you were just relying on users and help desk tickets. And so you're able now to, because these things run all the time, you can predict other people that are likely having the same problem, they just haven't reported it yet, by looking at the patterns in the sensor data. So AI Ops looks for patterns in the data. It makes them actionable by showing you samples of where you can find it, and it does automatic correlation to tell you, you know, does this happen on Windows 10 only, or is it Windows 10 and Windows 7? Does it happen on virtual and physical systems? And in other ways to kind of look for the kind of things that an engineer wants to know to troubleshoot a problem.
Okay, and so you, in that example use case, you mentioned a couple of different sensor items, but of course this could be all across any one of the hundreds of sensors that this AI engine is looking for the correlation across that ginormous spreadsheet that you alluded to.
Definitely. I'm trying to pick a simple example that you can kind of appreciate. But because sensors are very broad, in fact, every release of SysTrack broadens the data set that we collect, and this is no different. But sensors give us far more precise data, which will actually make our help desk tools about 100 times better than they were in the past in terms of precisely diagnosing problems, and also enables us to provide a self-help feature so that more technical users are able to solve their own problems in some cases. And that tool also is user adapting, so it'll adapt to the sophistication of the user. So if you're working with someone that's completely non-technical, maybe that we discover a problem and say, this exceeds your technical ability. There is a problem, but this is one that you should ticket and has a built-in click-to-ticket capability for popular systems like ServiceNow. We also have capabilities for more sophisticated users to be more precise because they may be able to, you know, to solve their own problems.
How about on the management side? Can I use this to kick off any automations or anything?
You can. All of the new platform, all sensors are automated for or enabled for self-heal. So right now we have a smaller number of things that we're actually shipping the self-heal ability in. But remember I said that we can update these sensors monthly without changing the software from our cloud. So we're able to deploy new self-healing capabilities on an ongoing basis. So problems and problems that you know how to solve, you can just install the self-heal scripting and make it happen automatically.
So with SysTrack 8.4, my systems, they can be intelligent, they can be self-healing. Sounds pretty interesting. So 8.4, this is the announcement today or GA?
It's already shipping. It's GA. It's been GA for a while for some of our limited customers. We tend to roll out to some of our closer partners and because we're a channel-based company and help them kind of get up to speed on it. But as of today, everyone has access.
There you have it. So one last quick question. What's next? What should we look out for?
For next? We just finished this one, Jack. we're not quite ready to talk about the next one. But you can imagine that, you know, with this platform in place, you can imagine where we're going in terms of from a service desk of working toward not needing an L1 help desk at all, maybe not needing a an L2 help desk for the kinds of problems that plague applications and desktops. You're still going to need, you know, the problem that says, you know, hey, I call you and I got a problem because I broke my my Cat5 connector off in the wall. That one's going to be hard to solve with software. But I think we can go a long way that way.
Well, Mike from Lakeside, thank you very much for coming on this, as I've mentioned, inaugural quick interview podcast from the show floor. So for those of you listening, we'll have this posted and we'll have some more. And thanks very much and enjoy the show.
Thanks, Jack. I appreciate it.